Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam. We're in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud, Chapter 11, Law 10. We're discussing the differences between a kinyan that is made with a tanai and a kinyan that's made with an asmachta. The asmachta, the assumption is that you're not really so sure that kinyan's going to happen, and that's why you want it to be effective later on, as opposed to it retroactively happening when the kinyan is made now. Now, the Rambam continues with other derivations of this. Mi shehikna l'chavero, someone makes a kinyan with his friend. V'hisna lava, makes the following condition. Al menas shetitein mikach zeh, osim korenu l'ploni. If you take it on the condition that you take this object, and you will sell it to somebody else. Okay? In other words, you have it, and then I want you to sell it to somebody else. Im nesana o mechara la osa ploni. So if he indeed does that, kona, then the kinyan works retroactively. Im lo kiyem atnai. What if he did not fulfill that obligation? Umechara la acher, and then he sold it to somebody else. Even if he then sold it later to the original person who he told it to, then O Shalom Acharo, he doesn't sell to the other guy. Velo Nesan of his man Shekavelo, and didn't give it at the time when he was supposed to do it. In other words, the condition is I'm giving it or selling to you that you will turn around 5 days from now and sell it to somebody else. He does not keep that kinyan. So this was a regular, proper kinyan, but the question is, did the fellow follow the kinyan or not? So lo kana, then the original kinyan doesn't work, which is an unusual scenario, because then how long did he have the object to begin with? I'm selling you the item so that you'll turn around and sell it to somebody else 5 days from now. So he doesn't turn around and sell it to somebody else. So this is a way that he can ensure that the other person will eventually get it. Could be maybe the owner really wants to sell it to the third party, and he's not going to be around to sell it to the third party. So he's selling it to the second party.
It's suspicious if he deals directly with that person.
Or whatever. So he says, I want you, so then I'm selling it to you on the condition that you'll sell it to him later. So although it's not meant to be a permanent sale to that person, it can still be considered a kinyan as long as he follows the condition. That's probably the chiddush of the Rambam over there.
So okay. He owns it even though he only owns it very temporarily?
For 5 days, whatever. But if he doesn't keep that condition, then retroactively the sale never went to him.
Is he allowed to use it? Is it like his?
Well, it's his for until he sells it to the next guy. So if he does, retroactive was his. If he doesn't, then there's a problem. And now we'll have a similar. Now you're going to see what the point of this halacha is as it becomes much more clear in the next halacha, as opposed to. So let's say he does what he was told. So now he gets to use the item for 5 days, right? Let's say, and then he sells it to the other guy. So, at the end of the day, did he pay any money for it?
No.
Didn't pay any money. Did he benefit from it?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the chiddush of the Rambam. Is it considered that the guy is getting interest on this, perhaps? Because he's getting a benefit of using it, or is this really considered a loan, or is it considered a sale?
For payment for his trouble.
So we're going to see from the Rambam, he considers this a sale. And there's no issue of ribbis over here, as will be much more clearly defined in the next halach. V'chein ha-moicher o ha-lekech, or someone who sells or purchases shehistu, and the condition is made when they sell it. The condition is sheyachsel o ha-mikach bizman ploni. That the condition is going one way or the other, that either you'll give me back, I'm selling it to you now, that you'll give it back to me 5 days from now, or you'll give me back the money, or really goes together, and you'll give me back the money, because it's the item's going back, and the money's going back, okay? So now, wait a minute. Now this guy's holding on to money for a bunch of days, and he could do whatever he wants with the money, right? So now there might be issues of perhaps interest. We say, no, Hare HaMekach Kayim. This is viewed as a valid sale, and it's not viewed as a loan, although it smacks of a loan, because the guy's lending him the money, and in other words, he's paying him the money. So when the sale takes place, I'm selling you the money, I'm selling you the object, I'm getting the money. Now we know in 5 days I'm getting the money back. I'm giving the money back, and you're giving me the item back. That's the condition. Now what's going to happen with the seller and the money for those 5 days? He can do whatever he wants with that money. Wait a minute. Wouldn't that be considered like interest? He's benefiting from the money on this transaction. But that would only be if you considered it a loan. And because on the one hand, you might think it's a loan because everything's coming back anyway after 5 days. And that's the chiddush of the Rambam, that this is not a loan. It's considered a genuine sale because the conditions were met. And then the achzerenu kishahisna, and then he gives it back as the condition is made. So here is and this is important as opposed to the next halacha, because here it's a defined sale for a defined period of time. He said, I'm going to sell it to you on the condition what? That you're going to give it back to me in 5 days. So it's a clear sale. It's a sale for 5 days. Since it's a sale for 5 days, we will not misinterpret it to think there's any interest involved. Since it's all the itemizations of this sale has been clearly articulated, and it's a 5 day sale, as opposed to the next halacha in Yud Aleph. No, you wait till we do Yud Aleph. But Mochar Karka, let's say he sells land lechavero. He sells land to his friend, and the seller makes a condition, and he says to the seller, when I will have money, now return the money back to me. Okay, this is not a defined time, and therefore it's more like a loan. Right? When I'll give you the money, return the money. Right? Return the land when I come up the money. So, like, what's going on? So, what about the fruits that are being eaten in between? Right? So, we say, Hare ha peiro shel mocher. The fruits belong to the seller and not to the buyer. Why could the buyer not eat the fruits? Because if the buyer eats the fruits, that would be interest. Right. Why is this an interest-bearing situation? Because it wasn't clearly articulated the time to hit the end of the sale. Since he's just, so now it's really like a loan. Here, I'm selling you the thing. When I'll get the money, so it's like I'm borrowing from you the land. Whatever you give me the karka when I have money to buy it back. So that's clearly a loan. And now the guy would be benefiting from the fruits of the loan. Therefore, we cannot allow that to happen. What if finally, mocher lo stam, what if he sells it without any of these conditions? Rumer lo keach midaito. And the seller just says, the seller offers it, not the buyer making a condition. The seller offering, something the seller would usually not make such an offer. Kishiyu luchomos, you know, when you'll happen to have money, to the aimly, you'll give it to me. Then I'll give you back the money. This is an unusual offer for the buyer to make such an offer. Hare hatnai kaim. This is considered a proper condition. Valokeach ochel peros. And the purchaser is able to eat the fruits. The ein boze avak ribis. This is not at all, not even the dust of ribis. Why? Because it doesn't smack from a loan, because it was not initiated by the seller, but it was initiated by the buyer. Because on his own volition, he makes this condition. So since the seller did not make the condition, it's not considered a loan with interest, but rather it's just the purchaser showing just being a good guy and giving a chance to get it back, so therefore it's not considered a loan. Okay, any questions still, or that answered your question?
I'm still struggling with the first case, because we say he sells it, the seller sells it to the buyer, who's then going to sell it to a third party. Remember what we said?
Yeah.
And we talked about him getting the item and the money back, the buyer, the seller. Already get the money and the...
Well, the condition is he has to sell it to a third party. So if he does, then the original sale was good, and the subsequent sale is also good. If he does not sell it to the third party, then the original sale is null and void.
So the money goes back to the original
Everything
sale.
Goes back.
Doesn't the third party get the item that's being sold?
He didn't sell it to a third party. He said, if you will sell it to a third party, then my sale to you is a good
sale.
If he doesn't sell it to the third party, then the sale to the second party doesn't happen. If he sells it to the wrong guy, then that sale is null and void, and then the sale to the second guy doesn't work either. Rabbi, it's, okay, here we go, guys. Halacha Yud Beis, an interesting story coming up here.
He doesn't give stories often.
Masa beisha sheshocha Ruvain liknos na lochotzer mishimen shoyakrovo. A woman sends an agent whose name is Ruvain. She sends the agent to buy a courtyard from a relative of hers whose name is Shimon. Okay, and I shouldn't say shoyakrovo. It should say shoyakrova. All right, so. She would like to buy her relative's property, and she sends an agent to buy it for her.
A real estate agent.
Okay, an agent. Okay.
It
should change the text.
Sam has Krova.
Okay. Now, for Amra Shimon, and Shimon says, HaMoicher L'Ruvan HaShliach, so the Shimon says to the Shliach, Ruvain, when the proposition comes, he says, "Im yieldi." So now, so that's going to be the sale. So how normally a sale is? So she gives money, the relative gives the property. Now, the relative now tells the agent in the process, I "Want you to know, im yieldi mos. If I ever come across some money, obviously he probably needs to sell because he needs the cash, right? But if I ever come onto money." Tachsali plonis krovasi karkazu. I'd like my relative to sell me back the land, and that's kind of the condition upon which I'm making the land, the sale. Now, this is an open-ended deal here. It's not a specific amount of time, so we can run into all kinds of ribbis issues over here, because it could be more like a loan than a sale, and that might be the problem, which the Rambam's going to say it ain't the problem at all, because wait, let's see what the relative answers. Veshivo Ruvain, now the agent, Ruvain, he responds, Yomerlon, he says, listen, Ato Plonis Krovin Kmoachim, your relatives like brothers, you're good friends. What does he mean to say by that? What, that's all he said. But the Ram says, what did he mean when he said that? Clarence to say, Hadover Koruv Shitasulach, it seems logical that she'd be happy to return it to you. And will not be particular about this. So, in other words, the guy says, listen, I'm selling it, but on the condition that if I ever come upon money, I want to be able to buy it back. Now, that's a red flag. That really would mean, not a good thing, because she won't be able to benefit from the land, because that would be like ribbis, because it's open-ended, and there could be a problem. Rama says, you know what? There's a problem before we even begin. Why? So now let's continue. So then the issue came before the rabbis, and I guess the guy came up with money later, and the question is, was she able to benefit from the fruits of the field and all this? And the rabbis say, you want to know if this was a sale or not? The agent didn't acquire anything from the woman from the get-go. There was no kinyan ever in the land for this woman. And you're all saying, why? What's the problem? Because the seller did not rely on the relative merely based al divrei ashliach, by the words of the shliach. Why? Because he wanted to get a clearer answer from the shliach. He says, I'm going to sell it, you know, on the condition that when I get the money, I'm going to be able to sell it. Shliach should have said, for sure it's going to happen.
He didn't say that.
He said, listen, you're good relatives. You're like brothers.
It shouldn't be an issue.
Okay, now we can infer from that, but it's not a clear declaration of what's going to happen. Mipnei shel yeshiva tshuva, we didn't give him a clear answer. V'nimtza shelo gomer v'lo hikna, it comes that the seller never really intended to sell it, there never was a kinyan, v'chein kol kavyotza. So the whole issue that we were worried about never even comes to the table. Now, should, let's theoretically say, let's say the agent said, yes, she for sure will do it. I'm empowered to speak on her behalf. She will definitely make the sale. Then we have a problem with the entire sale. Well, not a problem, but she's not able to enjoy the fruits of the land.
Nothing.
Because then it could be a sale, but she won't get the fruits of the land because then that would be interest. But now we're saying, by the way the agent positioned the answer, that the seller would not even be confident upon that answer, and therefore the sale was null and void from the beginning. Okay, now the Gemara is going to give you an interesting exception to the rule about a smach.
Can I ask a question?
You could ask.
Okay, I don't know if you can answer. But
I don't know.
So let's say that this guy's property...
You're taking Mark Mitkowitz's place tonight. It's okay.
Somebody's got to help him. So anyway, the issue is, let's say this was a rental property. This guy owns a rental property. And this lady
He owns a rental
property. Rental property. He has let's say an apartment with 6 apartments in it. And this is his property. He lives in one of them, and there's 5 others he rents them out to. So now she buys it. What can she do with all the rent? If she buys it on this condition here...
It's not a sale.
No. Let's say the condition that whatever you say, she's going to abide by 100% when you come up with the money, she'll give it back.
There could be ribbons here.
So she can't...
That's
the
fruits.
She
can't
take any of the rent for, let's say, 10 years.
It's no different than fruits. It's no different than fruits.
So what should she do with the rent?
You don't make such a sale.
Okay.
No, the rent goes to the seller.
Yeah. Give it back to him?
To the seller.
Okay.
Seller gets the rent.
Okay.
Okay, Yud Gimel, although we said an asmachta does not work, the Gemara now is going to give you an exception to the rule where an asmachta works. Yud Gimel, they're going to give you the exception in theory, and Yud Dalet will give you the specifics. So if you're not clear at the end of Yud Gimel, be patient for Yud Dalet. Asmachta shekona miyodo, an asmachta that you acquire, even if you make a kinyan from now, because it couldn't work anyway, but it still is a type of an asmach. Remember, asmach means you're not really so sure that the deal is going to go through, but you did it alav bebezdin choshev, but you did it in the presence of a prominent court. Okay? So that's a very important rule. And you need to have a prominent court, because not necessarily would the guy really want to do it, right? But, and what has to happen as well? So we say, Hareza Konet, it's a Kenyan, if you do it in front of primary court. For who? But on the condition that what has to happen? She yitpos schuyosov, he gives over the shtar, bevezdin to bezdin. For who? Shelo yanus, and that he also was not forced into it. Very vague description. So Yudalit Ketzad, let's have an example of this. Hare shehitvis shtara o shover bezdin. He entrusted the shtar or receipt in the hands of bezdin. Vekanu miyado, and they made a kinyan from his hands. And they say, here's the condition now. Sheim lo ba biyom ploni. The guy says, if I don't come on a certain day, you can give this shtar to the guy that I'm litigating against, which is usually not a very good thing for it to happen to him, right?
What if he doesn't come?
He says, let's say I've paid the debt. Here's the receipt. I'm giving the receipt to Bezdin. I'm giving you the receipt on the condition that I come back in a certain day. If I don't come back on a certain day, my litigant gets it. Now, do you think the guy really wants that condition to come true?
No.
Doesn't that smack like an asmachta? That's certainly not the kind of thing a guy wants to do. Even with a kinyan in Bezdin, It's a very far, not great thing. V'igia yom, and the day came, v'lo bo, he didn't show up.
Whoa.
Now, do you think he really meant to say that if he doesn't show up, that the whole receipt is gone and it goes to the guy, the other guy? Hare elu nosnim, the Bezdin gives it to him. And that's the point. If you do it in front of a prominent Bezdin, therefore, it works through the power of Bezdin.
So he was in intensive care, or he with the river flow.
No, whatever it is, but the fact that he gave it and he did it in front of a Bezdin as opposed to a regular guy, that strengthens this, even though it's an asmach that strengthens it. However, v'im ikfu narachol, what if the river went out, overflowed, and it was circumstances beyond his control, ocholi, or he's too sick, milavoda come. Then lo yitnu, they don't give it, because then he did not fulfill the condition. It was beyond his capabilities. V'chein kol k'yoytze b'zeh, and any case like that. And again, the Rambam reiterates, v'hu, but this is strictly when, shia b'bezdin choshev. It has to be with a prominent court, and with a prominent court, then the halacha, and the prominent court means a bezdin shall smuchim, that they have smicha. All right, and then that case works.
So how are they going to know that A, the river's out?
They'd have to investigate.
Okay,
they wouldn't give it that fast.
Okay, they don't just give it over.
They'd say, okay, let's check weather conditions. Let's check out the hospital.
More that it was fallen if he didn't.
If I fallen, and he was screaming the other side of the river. No. That was a divorce, though. I officially divorced my wife if I don't come back this day. That was
let's continue. Tesvav. Hamachay. Now here's an interesting case. Hamachayev atzmo b'momen la'acher below t'nai klal. Let's say a person obligates himself to pay money to another person and he doesn't make any conditions for it. Afal pishlo hayuchayev lo klum. Even though he wasn't chayev anything to the guy to begin with, but now he obliges himself to pay. Hareza chayev, he has to pay. It could be he's admitting something that he once owed him, whatever. Shadover zematona, this is a gift. He ve'ena asmachta, and it's not an asmachta. You're saying, well, maybe he didn't mean it. Why would he mean it? Why should he mean it? He doesn't really, we have no records that he owes him any money. Why should we say that this is a legitimate kinyan? The answer is, there's no reason to assume not. It's not a wild condition. Kate said, let's have a case. Ha'omer le'edim, he says to witnesses, Havu alai edim, I want you to be witnesses to the following. Shani chayev leploni mona, 100. That I owe this guy $100. O shekosav lo shtar, or he writes a document. Hareini chayev lechom mona, I'm chayev to 100. Afal pi she'en shomevin, even if there aren't any edim to this, but he's written a shtar. O sha'omer lo bifnei edim, or he says in front of edim, hareini chayiv l'chomona bishtar. I'm chayiv you with $100, and there is a shtar. Afa pishalo omar atem edai. Even though he didn't say, you are my witnesses. You have three cases. First case, he says, I want you to be my witnesses. Second case, he gives a shtar. Third one, he gives a shtar in front of witnesses without telling the witnesses, I want you to be my witnesses, but there's a shtar right over there. Hova Amar Bishtar, Simsi says it's with a shtar. Hareze Ka'omar, it's just as if he said, Havu Alai Edim, be my witnesses, and therefore V'chayev L'shalmi has to pay. Afal Pisha Shneim Modim, even though they both agree. Even though they know he never really owed him any money.
They know it.
They know. Everybody knows he doesn't owe him any money. But he says, I'm writing a shtar that I owe money. Right? So you might think that's an asmach, that's a total exaggeration. Yeah. It doesn't mean a word he's saying. No. But the fact that he has put a lot of teeth into this kinyan, if he has obligated himself, no different than a cosigner obligates. Think about it. Why should a cosigner ever pay? Did the cosigner ever borrow anything?
Nothing.
No. But he's saying, if this guy doesn't pay, I will pay. So this guy is volunteering to say, I owe you money, even though he doesn't owe money. The fact that he's done it in front of witnesses, the fact he's done it with a shtar, that will not be considered an asmachta. That's what the Rambam says. And there's no conditions over here, even though he for sure doesn't owe him anything. I can just turn around and say, listen, you two guys, well, you know, I owe Paul $100, and I'm telling him $100. And everybody knows I don't owe him $100. Doesn't matter. It's not an asmachta. It's really like a gift. And that's the way that halacha plays out. Okay. Now, let's continue Tezayin. Chiyev asma b'dover she'eino kotzuf. Now, here's an interesting scenario. What if the guy obligates himself to somebody else, but there's no limitation as to what he is owing him? Mm. Now the question is he serious about this? Kigon Shem, $100 is one thing.
Yeah.
But Kigon Shem, he said, Hareini chayev lozun oscha, I oblige myself to support you for food, o lachasos, or to clothe you chomei shanim, for 5 years. Hold on. Well, because you don't know how much that's going to cost.
Yeah.
What kind of suit? How much money? It's not $100.
Right.
You know, I don't know how much money the guy's going to eat in 5 years. What if he eats rib steaks? I have no idea. Afal pisha kanamiyado. Even though he made an acquisition, lo nishtabed, he's not subjugated to this. Shazu kemo matona. This is like a gift. Okay. He ve'ein kan dover yedu amatzui, and it's not clearly known what is the gift, and therefore we don't assume that he meant to give it. In other words, remember we said earlier, if a guy says, I'm going to give you a small amount for a gift, we assume it's a gift, and he has to, but he may say, I'll give you $1 billion.
Yeah,
we say he doesn't really mean what he's saying. So the same thing over here, even though it is to a certain degree quantifiable, because he says it's 5 years of clothing, but the Plaisa, it isn't quantifiable, and therefore, since it's not Yadua and Motsui, and so found to do such a thing, we assume that the seller only will oblige himself for specific things, and not for general things like that. And therefore, it's a type of a gift that's outlandish, we would say. And therefore, there is no kinyan with this. However, 1 second. Just want to make sure. Okay. So now the question is, Ram was going to ask, if that's the case, let's look at a similar case where we say the opposite. And we say, ma, haposek imishto. How about when a guy gets married to a woman and he makes up the following deal and he wants to make up, she has zonas bita, he says, I'm going to get married to you and I'm going to take care of your daughter. I'm going to sustain your daughter. And we know the halacha is chayav lazun, he has to sustain her. Well, that could be a gift that's who knows how many years you have to support the girl. The answer is, mipnei shepasak bishas nesuim, because this was something that was made up at the time of the marriage. This is like things that are kona with amira. Here it's not a gift. It's not a gift, but it's a sale. Because he's, so to speak, purchasing the wife. In other words, she won't agree to the marriage unless she gets this. And therefore he's willing to do it. In other words, a gift, that's an unlimited gift, we don't hold as a gift.
Right.
But when a guy wants to marry a woman, this is not a gift over here. This is, so to speak, on a barter or a sale. He wants the woman. So he says, okay, you want me, this is the price. Now guess what? You're going to have me as long as you're taking care of my daughter. So, you know, the quote-unquote, the sale, the purchase of the wife, as it were, is for an extended period of time that's sort of unlimited. So to match the unlimited nature of the marriage, there's going to be an unlimited nature of having to pay for my daughter's costs as well. Okay, let's stop over there for tonight. One more halacha to go, but we'll leave it there. Ooh, Yaakov, maybe you want to start sota with us tomorrow.
Wow.
Tell your partner you'll be a few minutes late.
Learn Gemara.
It's a very bad time now.
It's a bad time now, of course. It's because I'm offering it.
No.
Busy time.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, my job is to offer.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no class on Thursday. There was no Gemara class.
Yeah. Because there was okay, good. We'll see you in the morning. Shkoyach.
Was there a reception here on Thursday morning, too? Was there something?
Yes, there was a little bar mitzvah, brekkie.